So the big question is this: what would you do if money didn't matter? Say you had millions in your bank account, what would you focus on? Would you spend more time with your family, with your wife, with your kids, take family vacations? Would you pursue your gifts and talents and dreams, serve your local community, teach others, serve your church community? You see, if what you would do if money didn't matter is pursue your gifts and talents and dreams to serve others, then that is probably what you should be doing. The problem is most people are in the rat race, living 5 inches in front of their face with no time to pursue what they were born to do. That is the problem, and the solution is to develop enough passive income to replace your working income so you can quit your job and be free to live your life the way you were created to. That is the solution, and this podcast will show you how. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the latest episode of Cashflow Dad Live. I'm stoked for this guest today. Please welcome, if you're just sitting there in your car, I guess just clap your hands or whatever, you know. Welcome Corey Durkin. Corey Durkin is, he's got a new book out called You Can't Get Rich If You Feel Poor. And I love this concept, but let me just give you a little bit of a background on Corey. Corey is a speaker. He's an author. He's a podcaster. He's an angel investor. He's a musician. He drinks a crap load of coffee and about 17 other things. And one of the things that he believes is that when he's dead, though he does use a therapeutic pillow when he actually does sleep, he will sleep when he's dead. You know, my dad used to have this phrase when we went on vacation was sleep is for wimps. And he still says it, although he falls asleep watching a movie at 9:30, you know, on a weekday. So I love it. He's incredibly high on life, an entrepreneur. And one of the main reasons, although he does, you know, he does a lot of stuff, and especially he's dabbled in real estate, more specifically the short-term rentals. And one of the reasons I really wanted him to come on the show is because of his new book that he has called You Can't Get Rich If You Feel Poor. And it talks about a certain mindset. And what's so special to me about this concept is when I first got started in life after I got married is I listened to a lot of Susie Orman and a lot of Dave Ramsey. And I know a lot of people are really big fans of theirs. And I love some of the concepts they teach as well. But what they teach is, you know, this focus on your expenses and your debt. And, you know, when you're focusing on just, hey, I need to get out of debt. I need to get out of debt. I need to get out of debt. You're not focusing on living life abundantly. So it was actually a real struggle for my marriage because, you know, I'm sitting there making, you know, I'm counting the number of sheets of toilet paper and my wife is, you know, she's, you know, having to cut coupons for the groceries. And it just wasn't a way to live. It wasn't like we weren't willing to make sacrifices. I was riding my wife's bike to work for crying out loud. You know, we were ready to make sacrifices. It just was, the focus was on getting out of debt and not necessarily living abundantly. So this is, I really wanted Corey to come on the show to really touch on this. And if Corey, if you could kind of tell me, you know, a little bit of your backstory, I think probably, I'm sorry, rewind. One of the most fascinating things that I know about Corey is that when he was in high school, he dropped out of high school. And he did this by preparing a PowerPoint presentation for his dad. And I think if you just could start us with how that went, that would be awesome.
Absolutely. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for having me on the show. I listen to your show. I think it's amazing. I think you do such a great job with pulling really valuable, actionable nuggets and insights and stories out of your guests. And I'm honored to be here. So thank you for having me, first of all.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Yes, I was 15 years old and I did indeed sit my father down with an 89 slide PowerPoint presentation to convince him to let me leave high school. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was actually, pretty much the most important sales, a sale that I ever made in my entire life. You know, I had to make that sale. You know, I was a good student. I was, you know, straight A's and I had to cheat a little bit in math, but I made it work.
Yeah.
You know, it was tough, which is ironic that I'm in, you know, financial education. But anyway, you know, I really, my father was an entrepreneur. So I grew up in this idea of there's no ceiling, right? I grew up in the understanding that, you know, the more action that you take is equal to the amount of money, abundance, influence that you can have and really, you know, the more people that you can serve, right? Money is just a scoreboard for the amount of people that you've helped. You know, and I realized that I did not want to trade hours for dollars. And so I sat my father down with an 89 slide PowerPoint. And I got to tell you, he almost killed me that night. I'm lucky to be alive today. Okay. I really am.
It probably made way too much sense for him as an entrepreneur.
It did, but he was like, you know, but he was like, man, I thought the kid was going to go to college and be a lawyer. And, you know, I mean, he was, you know, there was a little bit of consternation, you know, let's put it that way. It wasn't the easiest sale, but I eventually, you know, it was about a 60-day sales cycle. I didn't make the sale right then. You know, I had to, you know, nurturing the prospect and kind of moving.
Right. You know,
so
what were your sale points for? I mean, what were the reasons that you gave them?
Well, at the time, actually, you know, long before becoming a speaker and author and running the training business that I run in Connecticut, and any of the other stuff that I've done and do, and that's why I don't sleep that much, and that's why I drink all of this coffee right here. You know, I wanted to be a musician. So my plan was to homeschool myself for 11th and 12th grade and then apply to Berklee College of Music in Boston and go to music school. And I was a guitar player back then. Now I play everything, but guitar is still my first love. And so I thought I was going to be a musician. So when I left school, one of the things that I started doing was I started touring around the East Coast. I was playing like Borders bookstores, and I was playing like college shows for like $150 at noon in the Bryn Mawr community cafeteria with, you know, it was terrible, you know, but I was learning, right? Like I was like getting on the phone, like I would call up Starbucks.
They actually paid you $150.
Yeah. The colleges would pay me. Now the Borders wouldn't pay me, and the Starbucks wouldn't pay me, but I play for tips. So if I was like between Delaware and trying to get back up to Connecticut, you know, if I played a Starbucks gig and I made $45, that was my tank of gas back home. So that was, I mean, literally like, you know, and I was using couchsurfing.com back in the day, actually.
Wow.
Oh yeah. You know, way before Airbnb. So that was my plan. And thank God that I did that, because Berklee would have been 60, 70 grand a year by the time it was all done. And I would have gone for audio engineering, being in the studio. And I very quickly realized, after doing some work in studios around here and in New York City, doing like some, just kind of sitting in and doing some work, I realized I hated it. I realized that I was not technical. I was not a math guy. And you have to have that if you're going to be sitting at the board all day long, tweaking the knobs and it's a little more treble here and a little less bass here and it's 30 megahertz. And I was like, no, I just want to write the songs. So thank God I figured that out when I did. Then I was like, oh my God, I totally screwed this up. Like my dad was breaking his ass to send me to a college prep school. At the time that, you know, things were, you know, it was tight. Right. So like that was a big deal. And I basically like, I realized that as a pretty good student and with a pretty good springboard, I had like thrown that all away to be a musician. And I'm like, I don't even want to be a musician.
Hey guys, I wanted to take a brief break from the show to remind you that if you haven't yet gotten your copy of my newest book, The 7-Day Real Estate Survival Blueprint, How to Create $10,000 Out of Nothing in Less Than a Month, then what are you waiting for? The book is available on Amazon for $19, but if you are a listener of this podcast, you can get it absolutely for free. All you have to do is cover the shipping charges, which is less than an extra value meal at McDonald's. So you could get fatter, or you could invest in an incredible amount of wisdom and a step-by-step blueprint. I cover by the hour exactly what I would do for the next 7 days to make sure that I have $10,000 in my pocket in less than a month by investing in real estate, starting with nothing. Say you have no money, okay, and no experience. So the book is amazing. And if you want to get it for free, it's cashflowdadlife.com/7, okay? And then you can get it there and just cover the shipping costs. All right, guys, back to the show.
So I was like spiraling down like 15 years, and this all happened like within like a year, like within like 6 months of this, I was like in a very deep like spiral of fear and anxiety, and it was terrible. And I was 15. So, you know, it's hormonal too. I don't know. But anyway, so during that time, I, when you're on the road as a musician, you have a lot of downtime. Most of it's not playing shows. And so I was, you know, this was around the time where I learned, like, you know, don't rent a hotel that rents by the hour type of thing. Like, you know, you learn a lot of lessons on the road when you're that age. Yeah. Who knew? Right. And this was back when not all hotels had Wi-Fi. And in fact, where a lot of them had it, but they would charge you like $20 a day. So I would actually have to go down to the hotel desk clerk and like tell them my story and be like, listen, I'm like 16, I'm 15 years old. Can you give me a break on the Wi-Fi? Cause I need to like get my email or whatever. Like that was like, I was hustling, bro. And so I would get the Wi-Fi, and I always loved marketing. I was around sales. My father's an entrepreneur, and I started learning internet marketing. So I started learning, affiliate marketing, selling other people's products. I didn't have products of my own, but I figured out how to do SEO and get sites ranked for certain things in the keywords on Google. And I realized, oh, that can drive traffic that way. And then I started to learn how to use Google AdWords, and how to, you know, buy keywords on Google and send traffic to doing affiliate marketing. And like, I'm not super technical, but I think I have a pretty good like EQ in terms of like what people really respond to. And I like the, you know, it's like, I'm a very genuine person, and even 15-year-old me was like kind of very tapped into what people respond to, and people want to be spoken to, and they want to relate to people who really understand where they're at. And I think that was one of the main keys to my ability to kind of scale those campaigns and to really like create content that would get ranked in Google. And I love people, you know, so that was a big deal. And so I had this affiliate marketing business, and I figured out how to scale it. And I started outsourcing and hiring people. And at the time, the Ukraine was tremendous for outsourcing talent. It is not as good as it used to be. But it was then, certainly. So in like 3 years, I like built up a huge, you know, business and made a bunch of money. And, you know, I was like, this is incredible. And I was able to play music. I was able to make records and, you know, do what I wanted and, you know, make music videos. And it was a very interesting 3 years post high school that I could never have expected.
Right. Yeah. So, that's awesome. So when did you get started with real estate?
No worries. I real estate happened for me, probably about age 20. So probably about 2 years. So I had a point where I had made a bunch of money, and I didn't spend it. I'm like a weird dude. Like, all I want to do is like watch reruns of MASH in the West Wing and like go to concerts and like make music. Like, I have a studio in my house, and like, like, I love it. Like, I love making music. I just got the cover artwork on a new album that I'm putting out. I got it back this morning, which is really exciting, and sent off the last song to be mixed. I have fun. And I was like that even back then. So I was 18, and I was like, you know, what should I do with this? With my money, because I wasn't going out and blowing it. I wasn't partying. I've never had a drink. I never had a drug. Like, I only just want to make music and like do cool stuff. Yeah. So I started asking the question of people, like, what should I do with my money? And they all said, like, well, just give it to the bank and like hope they get you a good return. And it didn't fit for me. That idea didn't fit for me, because to me it was like
too conventional.
It was too conventional, and it's kind of like, you know, Western medicine. Like, the doctor can't bill me if he can't find something to cut out of me or give me a pill for. Right. And I was like, you know, like, I think maybe I could figure this out on my own, you know, in terms of managing my cash flow, you know, how much is used to scale the business, you know, how much is put into certain asset classes, you know, like where am I going to allocate my funds? Because I realized that making money was only the first part of it, you know, and obviously the cliche, the second part is keeping it. We'll have to update that cliche eventually, but for right now, that's where we're at, you know? Right. So I figured that out. And obviously real estate, it was one of the things that I kind of identified as a great way to, at the very least, not lose the money, at the very least, a way to park the cash and keep it bare minimum. one of the best. Hard to screw that up if you know your numbers, which, right. You know, and you and I have talked about this. It's just a numbers game.
Right.
You know your numbers. There's a million you know, new investors that come into the market, and they get so excited and they don't even know how to do a simple math problem. And so if you can figure out the basics, and again, I'm not good at math. I really am not good at math at all. I'm very, very not good at math. I just wanted to make that very clear. Okay. I'm not a numbers nerd. I was at a trading event in Vegas last week, and my God, those guys run circles around everyone in terms of like, it's just looking at their charts and making quick calculations and doing the numbers in their head. I'm like, you guys are way. I mean, I was a good student, but y'all are like, you're running circles around me with some of this stuff. And,
right.
You know, so I had identified real estate as one of the ways to do that. And so, you know, about, you know, probably at the age of probably just before I turned 21 is when I started doing real estate and started getting into, you know, like some of the basics that people get into, like, okay, like buy a condo, you know, rent it out, look at, okay, how does it feel to be a landlord? You know, like, do I really like it when, my tenant calls me at, you know, it's 11 PM and says my hot water heater broke or the plumbing's this. And I'm like, yeah, right. Okay. Like maybe that's not as much fun. Right. You know? And so for, you know, it's real estate to me, it's one of those things where it's, if you know your numbers and you're patient enough and you try a couple of different areas of real estate investing, you can get very good and scale. It's not as sexy sometimes as other things, right. Sometimes, but if you know, cause some people say, well, I'm a real estate investor. So, okay, well, what kind of real estate? Like, you know, there's a million different ways you could be a real estate investor, you know? And so I think that one of the things that I tell people who really want to get started in real estate to begin with is to say, listen, you got to understand what the cons, the numbers are going to work. If you follow the numbers, whether it's in buy and hold, whether it's fix and flip, whether it's apartment buildings, whether it's short-term rentals, like the numbers for each market are going to be the numbers and those aren't going to change. However, there are very, very specific negatives to every single one of those. And depending on what you want your lifestyle to be, and depending on, you know, really, I mean, you know, how much time and attention and detail you want to put into it versus paying, you know, somebody to go find the deals for you or paying a property management company, that's going to really determine where you're going to look at your focus within the real estate world. It's just like trading, you know, like this event in Vegas, these guys that teach Forex, they teach options, they teach commodities, they teach crypto. I mean, there's a million different sub niches within real estate. And, you know, I think that a lot of people jump into real estate investing and just go, I like the idea of being in real estate. It's one of the oldest things. It never loses value. It's really, you know, like it's a great place to park my cash. And they never like really look at some of the particulars in each of those sub niches. So, you know, so for me, I decided, hey, you know what I really love? I really love not having to do a lot of work. I really love like not feeling like I'm highly leveraged because I just bought 3 foreclosures in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and God, I hope they sell because otherwise I'm looking at, you know, 3 mortgages a month for a year, and that's not fun and that feels terrible. So, you know, I realized that going the way of the short-term rental was the short-term rental game was a lot easier and just fit more with my with sort of my ethos in terms of, you know, being in real estate.
Right. Awesome. Well, tell us a little more about this concept of abundance. Now, there's, you know, very popular teachings out there.
Sure.
That have to do with save your money, put it in your 401k, you know, that sort of thing. You know, save where you can. Like, when did you realize what did you see, and when did you realize that was not the best approach? Like, what were some of the problems that you were seeing out there?
Sure. Well, I mean, the first, you know, when I was 18, so 3 years after I left high school, and I was starting to ask the question, what should I do with my money? Where should I invest it? You know, that was the first stuff that I came across, which was like, you know, again, it's like the stuff that's been out there forever. The old gurus that said, save your money, you know, don't buy lattes. Don't go on vacation. And then maybe when you're 70 years old, then you can finally go to Italy. So I immediately identified that I was not, that didn't seem fun to me. You know, I mean, well, that doesn't sound like any fun. Like, I mean, granted at the time, you know, like I was in a different position than a lot of people looking at that advice because I was like, I have a bunch of money. I just don't want to lose a bunch of money. So what do I do with it? So I was in a little bit of a different headspace, but I was able to go, okay, you know what? Even if I didn't have a bunch of money, that still doesn't sound like fun. And, you know, so I started, so, you know, and I was actually, it's funny you said, I was talking to a friend the other night and he was saying, you know, there's just not a lot of good advice out there. He said, there's a lot of bad advice out there and people just don't know how to find the good advice. So I find it interesting now because a lot of those, you know, those old school financial educators, a lot of people are looking at that old school mentality and they're going, yes, or they're saying, no, that's bad advice. I don't like that. Or that's not, I know that's not going to work for me, but they never are able to figure out where the good advice actually is.
Right.
All they know is that's not, I don't want to do that, but I don't know where else to go.
Right.
So that's really why I'm so passionate about, you know, about what I teach at our company is because I want to show people that there is a way to earn money, to save money, to invest money, to grow your wealth, and to still actually live the life you want to live and live an abundant life and do the things you want to do and not be worried about, you know, counting the sheets of toilet paper or, you know, I only get one caramel macchiato per month and I get to splurge. Like, dude, okay. Like I'm 27. Okay. But every day I am so aware that like, just because I'm younger doesn't mean that I have 60 years ahead of me or 50 years ahead of me. Like, I don't know what is going to happen next week, but you know what I do know is I freaking love my $7 venti caramel macchiatos with 700 calories per cup. And if you're telling me that the only way I can live a happy life is to save on those caramel macchiatos every single day, and you know when I'm not even promised next Friday, you know what? If I get hit by a train next Friday and I could have had a week's worth of caramel macchiatos and I didn't drink them, I'm going to be really freaking pissed.
Yeah.
I'm not into it. So what I did was I went backwards. So I said, okay, this is all complete crap. I can't, this is terrible. And I went backwards and I started retracing the steps of some of the most storied families in history who created empires and kept them. And like, I'm a super nerd, right? Like, so not with numbers, but certainly with history. And I love reading and, you know, and so I literally, I stopped and I said, who made this work in the timeline of history? And so I went backwards and I read about why the Vanderbilt squandered their fortunes and why the Rockefellers kept it. And I went back, you know, till, you know, for thousands and thousands of years and for centuries upon centuries to get the principles. It's kind of like in the marketing game, people get excited about the shiny stuff. And a lot of the people who just look at the tools, like people who get into business for themselves and they look at the tools of marketing, like, oh, like it's, this is what I build my pages in, or this is what I send my emails out of. Or this is how I run a Facebook ad. Like, some of those people can get good for a little while, right? Like, they can catch lightning in a bottle. But what happens is every single person, and I'm a 12-year veteran. It's hilarious. I'm a 12-year veteran of the marketing game. Like, I know these are all my buddies. Like, I can't wait to go to the events in the spring and see everybody. You know, but what I know is that those people who maybe they caught lightning in a bottle, but if they didn't understand the principles of what it meant to truly be a marketer and to truly what it means to speak to someone's emotions and to allay their fears, guess what? They're not around anymore. And so it's the same thing with financial education and getting your financial house in order. Like, you know what? At the end of the day, man, there are so many, 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 many pieces of content and Huffington Post articles and Forbes articles that say, do this before I can do that. And it's all, and there's so many shiny tools that come out with the technology that's available today. And I go, you know what? Like, that's not what's going to make you successful. Like, what's going to make you successful is truly understanding the principles about why this works and why things don't work with your investments. And once you can figure those out, man, the world is your oyster. So that was where I really focused my energy and kind of, you know, eschewed the old school mentality of the save money and don't buy things unless you have money down and all that stuff. And so I was able, you know, I created the system for myself because I wanted to learn it. This was all for me. None of this, this was, you know, 10 years ago, I was doing this for Corey. And then my family said, hey, well, listen, you got your stuff together. Will you take care of ours? And I said, yeah. And then, you know, friends started coming to me and I realized like, dude, I have a freaking blast helping people with their finances. I was living it up. Like I would literally sit down with a buddy of mine, talk to him for 4 hours at a coffee shop. And I was like, I was happy as a clam. So I have a real passion for this stuff. I love talking about this. By the way, again, thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's awesome stuff. Awesome.
You know, it's an interesting concept to think about is if you have like a business that's failing and you have a consultant that you hire to come in to help you with that business, if all that consultant focused on was how you cut expenses in that business, you would probably fire them because what business wants to cap at their own income? You know, every business wants to grow and make money. And it's so ironic that we think like that with our own household because you should be running your own house and your own finances in the same way where you don't just say, all right, well, this is my job that I have for the rest of my life and this is what I'm capped out at. There should be some sort of upward movement in your income besides you going out and looking for a raise. So what are some of the things that you do as, you know, as a coach to help people focus not just on the expenses and cutting that mocha latte, the caramel mocha latte, but to actually increase their income? Because a lot of people don't have time for like another side job.
Well, you know, a lot of people think they don't have time for an extra side job. You know, and certainly there's, you know, the new ethos has become like hustle, 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 hustle and grind, like, you know, like work till 4 a.m. And again, I don't necessarily believe that either. I believe there's a happy medium. I think one of the keys to kind of maybe having the time to do that side hustle or having the bandwidth cognitively and emotionally, especially for those of you with children, to be able to do that, you know, is really understanding like, you know, you have to start valuing your time differently. And, you know, when you're in this rat race of trying to save, and when you're in that, you know, CEO mode of always trying to cut expenses for your company, you know what? You're never going to become, you're never going to be able to scale at all. You're never going to scale. You're just going to stay right where you are. And you're maybe going to go to Naples once every year and a half. And it's like, oh, you know, I checked out a different hotel for $69 this year. And it was all right. But, you know, didn't see as many dolphins this time, whatever. Like, that's your life. Like, that's not fun at all. And people get caught up in this idea of like, oh, the only thing that I can possibly do is save money. And so they do things like they take trips to Costco and they spend 4 hours at Costco and they got the best deals. Never mind the math on like what you actually spend in Costco over what you would have spent if you went through a regular grocery store. Like, ignore all those studies. Just think about the time that it took you to go to the Costco that's 40 minutes away instead of the grocery store that's 10 minutes away, the gas incurred, the opportunity cost of your time that you could have been perhaps, you know, putting an hour or two in that night on starting a side job or trying to figure out how to do wholesaling, trying to figure out how to do no money down real estate. But instead you're like, well, I got toilet paper for a dollar cheaper at Costco. And so that was worth 3 hours of my time. You know, I think that one of the biggest keys is really understanding where your time is best served and how to leverage your time so that you can, you know, we cannot create more of time. I mean, man, last couple of days have been so nuts around here and I'm like, get to like 1 p.m. and I'm looking at the clock going, no, like I can't believe, no, please. I want to go back to 10 a.m. I got so much more to do, right? You know? And like, that I can't make more time no matter how hard I try. But what I can do is I can value my time differently. And I can understand that saving a couple dollars at Costco, when it's going to take me an extra hour and a half to go get that stuff is not worth it. Because what I could really be doing is I could really be spending an extra 45 minutes making a prospecting call, or, you know, working on the new webinar, or designing, you know, what the training is for our VIP members at our next event, like really high leverage stuff. And so, you know, the second part of that is once I can help people to think differently about how they spend their and allocate their time, which is an asset, right? Like your time is an asset. I can decide that, you know, from 4 to 5 p.m. today, you know, I'm going to go watch Designated Survivor on Netflix, which is a great show. I'm so sucked into Designated Survivor. Oh my God, it's amazing. I haven't
heard of it.
Oh, it's like this ABC show. It's with Kiefer Sutherland. And it's like, it's so bad, but it's so good. Like, it's just like exactly what you need for like 11 p.m. Like your brain's dead. And you're just like, I just want to watch and live in a world where Kiefer Sutherland is president. It's tremendous. Like,
is it kind of like 24 a little bit?
It's like 24 mixed with West Wing. They take a lot of stuff from West Wing, like literally rip off entire storylines, but it's so good. Yeah. But from 4 to 5 p.m., I could either watch an episode of Designated Survivor, which would have negative ROI given the opportunity cost, or I could jam with you for an hour and talk about real estate and investing and helping people add value to their lives. It's a much better use of my time. I get to make that choice. On a 30, you know, I think of my time in kind of like 30-minute increments. Like, what can I get done in the next 30 minutes that I can really push the ball down the field? And the second part of that is, you know, creating a team around you to be able to support you to do those high leverage things. So sometimes, you know, if you and your spouse work 9 to 5, guess what? That's not going to be like hiring like an executive assistant like I have. You know, like it's not going to be like, you know, okay, well, we're going to hire 3 new secretaries and a couple of new customer support reps. And like, I get that some people don't have that luxury, but you can start small. You can talk to your spouse and say, listen, like here's what I need to be doing that's really high leverage to be able to increase our income. What could you be doing that you think could be increasing our income as well? And how can we work together to support one another in I'm going to carve out an hour of time for you each night to go work on your new book or your new course. And you're going to carve out an hour of time for me on a Saturday where you take the kids to, you know, to the bouncy house place where they bounce around in the house and stuff, you know, whatever. And so I can work on a proposal for the new consulting company that I want to start or you know, whatever it is. You know, and so I really try to get people to understand that concept because, you know, again, with the old school stuff that we get, we just get the propaganda of like save, save, save and play small. Like it does get burned into people's brains on a subconscious level, especially when that's all we see in our damn Facebook news feed is those Forbes articles that are just rehashing all that old stuff. And, you know, like, so I really try to get people to understand that. And then, you know, as you start to grow, look, when you don't have any business, we don't have any money, the thing you have is time. As you start to generate more money, instead of pulling it out right away, you have the option to invest that money back into the business. And for me, I invest that back into, you know, invested that into creating an infrastructure around me that allows me to do the things that I love to do the best. So, and number one is having people around me that are good at doing the things that I don't want to do and am bad at. If I can eliminate the things that I don't want to do and I'm bad at, then I can focus on the third thing, which is the stuff that I could really be doing that can really move the company forward you know, or companies in this case. But you say, you know, it's like, I mean, I'm pulled in a million different directions. And you know what? Having a gal who is my right-hand person who does everything from, hey, just letting you know that like, you know, your flight's been changed by 10 minutes and I'm already at the gate to, hey, my washing machine is not working. Okay, I'll take care of it. To, you know, like grocery shopping, you know, like I've always been a big fan of having people do those kinds of things. I haven't set foot in a clothing store in 6-7 years. I either buy it on Amazon or online, or somebody goes out and grabs me stuff and brings it back and I do a session at my house and then say, okay, return these and get me 10 more of the ones that I like. Like, you know, like it's not to my advantage to go out to the mall and sit there for an hour. Plus I hate shopping. So if I can get people to think about this stuff in this high leverage way, I have the ability to show them, look, there's a lot more that you could, there's a lot more progress you could be making. And whether that's in real estate, whether that's, you know, starting a bakery, whether it's becoming an author, like that's available to us. We just have to think outside the box and stop being trapped in the freaking rat race.
Yeah, and that's so important. I think you touch on something that's pretty profound there. You know, a lot of people, the first thing they say is, I have no time. And it really comes down to just maximizing your time. The richest people in the world create time, and they create it by doing the things that you're talking about. That, you know, if they're bad at something, yeah, it's going to cost $60 to get somebody to mow your lawn, but what can you be spending that time doing instead of mowing your lawn? Instead of driving to Costco, that's an hour away, to save a few pennies that you probably, you know, spend a lot of that on gas, you know, what could you be better spending your time with? And most people, if you sat down with a schedule and you lined it out line by line every single day, what did you do by the half hour? You would probably find an extra 4 to 8 to 10 to 12 hours in every day. Yeah. Just by lining that out. Most people, they don't realize how much time they actually waste on Netflix and The Voice and watching all these shows. You know, like TV is a huge time waster.
It's true. And having the discipline to build that stuff in. You know, I watch people that like are so addicted to the dopamine hit of checking their cell phone that, you know, mid conversation, they'll check it. Like really good communicators and very empathetic people that like in the middle of a conversation, and I watch people do this all the time where they're sitting there and they're like, and then they'll go and look at their phone. Like they literally can't help it. So again, you know, it's, you know, what I teach in our courses, it really, you know, from this sort of like mindset, like principle standpoint, you know, before we get to the actual, here's what you invest in, here's the percentages that you use, all that kind of stuff, is I say, you know, like you have to understand that this is for some people who want to think differently.
Yeah.
This is for people who want to know that they have a freaking plan and a blueprint that they can follow forever, not to mention when the next recession hits, not to mention when the next crash happens. Yeah. And you know what? Like, I mean, people, you know, the financial institutions and the banks and big corporate, their job is to make this seem as complicated as they possibly can so that people won't question it. They won't think twice. They'll just go, well, they will question it and they'll go, I don't know what the hell's going on. And so they'll just, you know, put the blindfold on and throw a dart at a dartboard and like hope that they're getting, oh, it says I'm getting 13%. So that must be true. Did you ever read the fine print? No, but it sounds good. I'm like, all right, great. Well, then, you know. So, but people are starting to get hip to the fact that that's not the way to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. We have everything at our fingertips. We don't need to do that way. But, and they're able to, so they're able to, again, they're going back to the thing from earlier, they're able to identify the bad advice. They just don't know where the good advice is. And again, it's to no one's advantage in the financial world to give the consumer the good advice.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Commission's got to get paid. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough out there. So I'm like, I'm an evangelical. I am an evangelist for this. Like I'm like one of the prophets in the Bible, tearing my clothes. Like, come on, people, rise up. Let's go. I want to empower people. I want to give people the opportunity to understand that the power is within their hands and it doesn't have to be complicated. And I love breaking this stuff down for people and showing them how to invest in them going, I wish somebody had told me this before.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about the mindset. Tell me, you know, if I were to ask you, why can't you get rich if you feel poor? You'd probably say, well, I could write a book about it. And which you did.
Hey, what do you know?
But you know, let's talk about that, that feeling poor, that mindset that affects your decisions and affects your ability to create wealth for yourself.
Well, so number one, I think one of the biggest things is a lot of people, if something can't come to you if you're condemning it, except for death. I mean, I guess, you know, that's a non-negotiable. Like you can hate death all you want. It's hard to get out of that one. You know, Jeff Bezos is probably going to get there, but you can't condemn something and secretly want it. And so a lot of people really, you know, we're taught subconsciously to not like people who are wealthy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have a beater Chevrolet that I love to drive and that's my favorite car. And especially in New England, I need it in the snow, you know, and it tows the boats and I can park it in the middle of a freaking pine grove and get the car scratched up and I don't care at all. It doesn't matter. And then I have a nice sports car and people look at me differently. I see and I feel the energy of people change depending on which car I'm driving when I'm getting out or I'm handing the keys to the valet or whatever. Like, it really makes a difference. And I'm shocked by that. But when you stop to consider the fact that we are often taught the subconscious programming that rich people are bad or rich people are greedy or rich people are, you know, this or that, like there's a mindset track in there that has to be changed before you can even start to get to the place where you're like, hey, you know what? Rich people, they actually might not be so bad. And maybe I'd like some of that wealth. I'd like some of that richness over here, please. Could you please put a bit of richness over here? I'd like some, you know, but if they're condemning it, they're not going to get there. So in terms of reprogramming from that standpoint, first thing is, man, you got to start loving rich people. You got to start loving people who are wealthy. You got to Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. You got to watch MTV Cribs. You got to really get in the mindset of appreciating people who have wealth. And one of the things I like to teach people is once a day for 30 days. Again, everybody's like, no, I like rich people. I'm like, yeah, you're full of it. Like, you really don't. Like, really, if you stopped and looked at your thoughts about people who are wealthy, you'd be like, yeah, they're those guys, you know, I don't like them. So for 30 days, I say, you know what? Pick somebody in your town or somebody that you know, or scroll through your friends on Facebook or scroll through your phone and pick out 30 people who have been successful that you know, like, you know, decently, and write them a letter in the morning. Say, dear John, I just want to say, like, I really admire you for how you've built that, you know, apartment business and how you, you know, built your real estate business and list the positive aspects of those people and start to put that energy out into the universe in a very intentional way, to the point that you're actually writing their address. Hey, John, I wrote a letter to you. I wanted to thank you for inspiring me. What's your mailing address? If you don't have it, guess what? He's gonna be like, so somebody took the time and wrote a letter to me.
Right.
We barely even phone call anymore. It's like, sure. Here's my, the intentionality of writing his address and putting a stamp on that letter, on that envelope, and sending it to him. I mean, my God, you want to talk about, you know, changing your attraction point into the universe and saying, hey, I'm ready for more. I believe in being wealthy. I believe in, you know, abundance. That's a really good way to do that. You know, so I think that, and again, it's not necessarily anybody's fault that they feel that way, but you know, your parents and grandparents and teachers and rich people this and rich people that. It's like, you know what? Like, I know just as many mean poor people as I do mean rich people. Like, doesn't matter. Like, money or not, money doesn't change people. It just magnifies what's already there. If you were a dick when you had no money, guess what? You're just going to be a bigger one when you have money, but you're still a dick.
Right.
like just because you're a millionaire doesn't mean you're not any nicer. You're not any meaner. You are who you are. You're just not making $40,000 a year as a sanitation worker.
Right.
Same thing. So that's the first step to reprogramming that, you know, and I really love the book. It's called You Can't Get Rich If You Feel Poor. How to Use the Laws of the Universe to Manifest More Money into Your Life. And, you know, one of the things that I love about the book is that it really focuses on tactics. You know, there's so much in the personal development world that's like, you know, and again, of course, I teach in my courses and in our trainings and in our events, I teach strategy. Like, I teach like hardcore investing strategy, asset allocation. Here's how we do gold. Here's how we do silver. Here's how we do real estate, all that kind of stuff. But a lot of times it does start with this. However, a lot of the personal development world is very focused on like just airy fairy fluff. Like, oh, just feel better. Just, you know, just like feel into it. And you're like, suddenly like the gold flakes will start raining down upon you. And before you know it, you'll have an entire gold bar in your backyard. And I don't know why they're all British, but anyway.
Right.
but you know, so that's the ethos of a lot of that. And so what I love about the book is it actually gives you concrete action steps to start reprogramming your stuff. You know, I mean, the top athletes in the world need coaches. The top investors in the world need coaches. And most of the time, those problems exist right between the ears.
Yeah.
If you can fix that and start to reprogram yourself and say, listen, you know what? I can take advantage of this. I can create whatever I want to in my mind's eye with how I want to feel about the wealth. Okay, good. Now that's step one. The only problem is in the personal development world, it's like, well, you just got to feel wealthy and then the money will come in. And it's like, no, man, like you actually got to go out there and work your butt off.
Yeah.
Like you actually have to like study and learn this stuff and invest in yourself and know what you're doing and get a good real estate coach. Like that's the second part. Nobody talks about that.
Right.
It blows my mind. So that's why the book was created to say, listen, I teach you strategy. I help you figure this out. But you know what? You know, so both pieces is important.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so important because if you isolate the idea of just like thinking your way into wealth, you know, that you could sit there and dream about a Ferrari every single day, you know, but if you don't take action, then it's not going to happen.
Right.
But it's so important that if you are an action taker, it's so important that you shift your mindset because that creates this energy within you. Like if you say like, I can do it. And if you're not just sitting there feeling like a poor schmuck, but you're looking at the goal, our brain, you know, I say all the time, our brain's like a servo mechanism, which is like the military term for like a heat seeking missile. And if you program the coordinates in subconsciously, it'll navigate around all the barriers until it hits its target.
I love that. Yeah. And sometimes there's more barriers than you thought.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are, you know, but sometimes, you know, if you program that missile, sometimes you're going to make some end arounds and you're going to go, this doesn't seem to be, you know, this doesn't seem to be working that well. And, you know, there's a real component there too, which is when you hit those obstacles to understand that, you know, if you're focused on programming the coordinates correctly, knowing where you're going, God forbid anybody should start a investing plan or a retirement plan in mind with what kind of life do I actually want to live when I retire? What a freaking concept.
Right.
You know, I mean, guess what? Newsflash, everybody. If you don't know where you're going, you're probably going to end up somewhere else. You know,
right.
I mean, most people's retirement plan sounds like Yogi Berra's quote, which is when you come to a fork in the road, take it. That doesn't help anybody.
What does that mean?
Exactly. Like, you know, like they just sit there and go, well, I don't know. I'm just going to try to save more money than last year.
Right.
You don't even have a goal in mind.
Right.
So to your point, if you can program those coordinates, if you can really start to understand that you're doing that, if you're doing that along with the action piece and you're willing to hustle, like it's a mathematical certainty that you're going to figure it out and you're going to start to see forward progress and you're going to start to see rev recognition. And then, you know, then it becomes the second part, which is, you know, what we say at the Uplift is, look, more people have died coming down from Mount Everest than going up it.
Okay.
There are plenty of business owners who are able to rocket it up. They're able to ratchet up their dollars and they're able to make $300,000-$500,000 a year. It's awesome. And they're like, I'm on top of the world. And I can't tell you how many people I know, even just in the local business community here, where I see guys that are, you know, they've made $300,000-$400,000 a year consistently for the last 15, 20 years as chiropractors and accountants and bankers and whatever. And they don't even have a freaking retirement. Well, I had 5 kids, each college tuition costs $60,000. Like, dude, like you got to start to understand where you're going and you got to get off of Mount Everest. So what we do in our programs is I help people get down off of freaking Mount Everest safely. Don't die on the way down. You got the money or you want to build, whether you got the money or whether you want to build the money, either way, at some point there's going to be a critical mass and you're going to be up there going, okay, there's a lot less oxygen and it's a long way down. And what the hell do I do? Some people have actually said to me that the toughest part of their life was when they were making a lot of money and they didn't know what to do with it. There's almost more pressure that way, you know, because it's like, cause you're like, okay, I've reached a pinnacle that I've wanted for so long. And I know that there are so many other people who would want to be in my position. I hope I don't screw this up. There's actually more pressure that way than there is if you're not making a lot of money and you're trying to make more. You don't have anything to lose, you know? So I want to help so freaking badly. Oh my God. I want to help people to alleviate that stress and to give them that serenity and that peace. Because you know what? Whether you want to make more money or you have a bunch and you want to figure out how to keep it, you know, there's no reason to live life with that much stress and and pressure and pain. And it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be this ethereal, crazy financial presentation where you're just like, I don't know, that fund looks great. It is easy. And more importantly, the power is within the control of every single person to say, you know what? I can figure this out. And my goal is to empower people to figure it out for themselves and to help them along the way.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be hard. Doesn't have to be difficult. Doesn't have to be an 89 page PowerPoint slide.
No, it does not, man. It really doesn't. You know what? You know what? Program your coordinates, get up and hustle. Let's go.
There you go. Perfect.
That's the cash flow dad life. Woo!
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cool, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I wish we had some more time to go into the depth on the mindset behind money. But we're out of time for today. But
yes.
Listen, if you guys want to get Corey's book, it's called The You Can't Get Rich If You Feel Poor. Highly recommend it. It's a quick read, but very impactful. And you can get it at CoreyCashflow.com. So that's www.Corey, which is Corey, cashflow.com.
Yes.
Any parting words of wisdom if you had to start all over?
I wish I'd gotten this book when I was 15.
How much is the book, by the way, if they go on there?
The book is $9.95.
Okay.
Cool. $9.95. And they'll get a digital copy, and they'll also get one shipped right out to them. It's a 2-for-1. The thing that I really love about the book, again, you want a little bit more mindset stuff to marry to some action steps that you're taking. This book will show you to do that, because, you know, look, money touches every part of our lives, and, feeling guilty about money, feeling scared about money, feeling like you don't know what you're doing with the money that you have. There's a lot of shame, and there's a lot of pain associated with money. But the fact is, money touches every single facet of our lives. And guess what? College tuition is like 3,000 times what it used to cost. Healthcare is going up like a mother. Guess what? The old stuff doesn't work anymore, guys. Like, it's right. Up to, and what people are finally starting to figure out a little bit is that nobody's going to help them.
Right.
The big corporate is what caused the crash of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Big corporate and the banks caused 2008. You want to figure out what happened. If you don't watch The Big Leap, and you know, I mean, you watch that movie, and that's a really good crash course for somebody who doesn't understand all of the financial markets and doesn't want to read about them. That's a great way to figure it out. And you know, like, the bottom line is that crash was created by the big guys at the top, and nobody's going to save us. Nobody's going to save you. It's up to you. So you can either decide. You know, people either like put the money in the mattress where it loses purchasing power. It'll lose half of its purchasing power in 14 years due to inflation, or they throw a dart at a dartboard blindfolded and hope that they have some money to retire on when they're 75. Or there's a third option, which is start to understand how to marry the action step with the mindset step. And, this book is a great way for you to get out of your own way and actually get into darn action and start making it happen, start earning more and saving more and having more fun. Because you know what? Naples is cool one time, but I can only see so many darn people play shuffleboard before I want to poke my eyes out. Much more fun to go to Maui and Turks and Caicos, guys, I can tell you. And you can get there and you can figure out how to design your life that way. It's just about, you know, about taking the action steps. So you can go to CoreyCashflow.com, Corey cashflow.com, and you can get the book there. There will also be a special bonus for the Cashflow Dad Life listeners, which is a secret bonus when they buy that book. So if you want to level up and program your coordinates and get that heat seeking missile headed towards the target, let's go, man. I'm here to help. And I really thank you for being on the show, and I'm honored to be here. And man, this is such a blast. I love talking about this stuff. I love doing this. There's nothing that I love more. I really, I got coffee, I get hanging out with Ryan. I'm in my office in Nowheresville in the hills of Connecticut with just me and the bears. Like, man, life is good.
Life is good and life is short. Thank you so much for teaching what you teach, Corey. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show.
See you soon.
Boom. Thanks for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You're going to want to listen to every episode as soon as it comes out, because each episode has in it an idea or a strategy that could literally change your life. And listen, don't miss out on the free investor tools that I have for you on my website, cashflowdadlife.com. So go to cashflowdadlife.com and get your free swag. And listen, hit me up if you want to talk about how we can get you out of the rat race as soon as possible. Until next time, my name is Ryan Ank, and this was Cashflow Dad Life.